Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
Trusting God when he does things that we want him to do, that's always easy. But when we want to trust God when unexpected things are going on and unexpected seasons we're forced to live through, that makes it hard. We're actually talking with author Susie Larson today at SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm doing so well, Scott. So good to meet you.
You know, it's interesting. When life goes haywire, life doesn't go the way that we planned, it's frustrating, right? And sometimes God's plans are bigger than ours, and we don't even want to see it.
That's true, because I think we're so addicted to the moment, to relief, you know, to getting through the immediate moment. It's almost like we're willing at times to trade our birthright for a bowl of soup. You know, we know that story from scripture, but truly, when we want relief more than we want redemption, or when we want a break more than we want a breakthrough, we do miss the best parts of what God wants to do in our lives.
I know, and it's a day-to-day journey, isn't it? We're really trying to find strength from God. We've got to go back to his word every single morning. And you've written a lot of books over the years, but you decided you wanted to do one that specifically addressed that every single morning.
For those who don't know my backstory, I've had some pretty rough seasons in my own life. I had some childhood trauma at the hands of some teenage boys that immediately opened up just a canyon of fear and insecurity, as you can imagine. And then as a young mom, I was still a fairly new believer at this time. I contracted Lyme disease and got just devastatingly ill for those first few years of my mothering years with our three little boys. And I've had chronic health issues probably for the last 20 years because of it. But I'm health-minded. I'm a fighter. And so anything that you read of mine, you'll notice sort of a fight language where I just have had to contend for the promises of God. Nothing has come easy for me, but I really do believe this is true for all of us, that those promises from God, they're yes and amen, but they take some contending. And then I went through a pretty massive health relapse about 5 years ago. And out of that, God really just brought so many deep truths to my heart. And so, yes, the 365-day devotional, first of all, it took a lot out of me. I wanted to quit in Leviticus, if I'm just totally honest.
Yeah.
I'm just like, am I really doing this? But once I stepped back and I looked at the arc of scripture, you know, you see the narrative again and again, Scott, where God's people forget who they are. They wander into sin. They get into their own striving ways. They make a mess of their lives. They call out to God, and in his mercy, he draws them back. Then he starts to bless them, and then they make it about them, and then they wander again. And it's the same cycle. It's, to me, I call it error amnesia. We just keep forgetting who we are, and God is so gracious and merciful to draw us back again and again. What I loved about going through the whole arc of scripture, it's just looking for opportunities and evidences to flourish and stand strong, either opportunities where maybe they did it wrong and we can learn from them, or evidence where they did it right and we can learn from them. And that was my goal and my heart behind this devotional. And people are calling it like a mini commentary. It's pretty deep. It's not light skimming reading. It's calling something out of you. But I really do love how it turned out.
There's so much diversion in our news. There's so much distraction in our world. And we want to go back to God's word when we really want to endure strength. And we're talking with Susie Larson today at SWS Radio. And in your new book, Susie, Prevail, you actually dig into a lot of devotionals going through the Old Testament into the New. And we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have Snapchat in previous elections, you know, 20 years ago. And on 9/11, we didn't have Facebook commentary going on when the things were unfolding as we watched the World Trade Center attacks. You know, there's so much negativity online and in the news, and it's like sensationalism is one thing, but then the commentary of everyone else makes us think like our belief system is warped sometimes. Have you ever felt that way?
Oh, very much. You know, our souls are not wired for 24/7 polarization, disputes. And everybody has a voice now that there's social media. You can be a self-proclaimed expert in just about anything. You know, I remember I interviewed Max Lucado on my show a couple of years ago, I'd say, and he was saying, you know, in the prairie days, you only knew basically what was going on in your neighbor's life and then maybe your immediate community. And once in a great while, maybe a few times a year, news would come in from an outside community. And he said, that's kind of how our souls are wired. And I just believe that so strongly as well. And I've been saying for a long time, we have to steward our perspective. We have to steward our perspective. We can't just sit with all that intake and all those inputs and kind of be at the mercy of all the bad news. Because if you do that to the point where the bad news upstages the good news, then you're out of balance, and it will impact what you say, how you pray, how you give, and how you live. So I'm saying, as believers, we have to take care of our soul. We each probably have a different capacity for how much news and how much social media we can take in. But Scott, it seems like we're getting most of our information from those realms, and we're forgetting about the powerful promises of God.
Our life, it just feels impossible right now. This extended season of staying home, and now we're homeschooling our kids ourselves. We're playing teacher and short order cook, and you're playing Sunday school leader as well, as many of our churches have not been able to meet in person all summer, and we didn't think we would be doing this still in the fall. Things just feel impossible. We're actually talking with Susie Larson today at Esquis Radio. She's written like 15 books. She's a speaker. She's a radio host. She wrote a new book called Prevail, and it's really about enduring God's strength. It's a devotional that goes through like 365 days. And there's this quote that I saw that said, King Saul thought that the giant Goliath was too big to fight, but David thought he was too big to miss. I mean, it's all about perspective. And in your new book, you actually have a devotional where you dig into the story of David and you talk about the importance of the impossible as he was facing a seemingly impossible situation.
Yeah, you picked up one of my favorites. I love that one. And in that story, Joshua, when he led his people to Canaan, they did not take hold of the city of Jebus for some reason. I'm not sure why that is. So when David became king, that was one of the first orders of business for him. And it was interesting because the guard stood at the gate and said, "You will never get through here." And the next word and the next verse that I absolutely love is nevertheless. Nevertheless, David broke through and he made it his capital. And what I say in that devotional is he not only claimed his God-given territory, but he also renamed the city Jerusalem. You think about this, Jerusalem became hugely significant for future Christians. It was the birthplace of the church. It's where Christ was crucified and rose from the grave. It's where Jesus poured out his spirit on his followers, and it's from that city where the gospel has gone out all over the earth. And it's the new Jerusalem is where we will gather again. So my point in that devotional is the locked gates before you are nothing more than an opportunity for faith. And your breakthrough is never just about you. I mean, I don't know that David could have known by him breaking through and taking that land that God had initially promised. He took it and he made it his capital. He could know the ripple effect on the earth and even on us. And I would say that your story, your kingdom story, is as significant in the bigger kingdom story because he's appointed you to live and breathe for such a time as this. So the locked gates are opportunities for faith, and the impossible situations are actually very important because they are an opportunity for faith and to see God move and break through in ways that are just bigger than we are.
You know, life is so interesting because there's a part of it that's what we worry about, and then there's another part of it of things that actually happen to us. And we worry about so many things that never happen. It's interesting when you dig into so many stories of the Bible, you put these guys up on a pedestal like these are the heroes. But God used flawed, regular people. God used those that had sin in their life and that missed the boat and missed it again and again. But he found people that had a heart that was aligned from him. You know, it's interesting. Like you look through the story of Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis, like his brothers, they sold him into slavery because they were jealous of him. Then he was taken to Egypt and he was falsely accused of adultery, he was thrown in prison, you know, and he's wondering if God forgot about him. Can you imagine the mental and the emotional turmoil that Joseph must have felt? Like through it all, God was using these situations to mold him for the bigger things that he had in mind.
You know, I love the way you set that up, Scott. I mean, it goes back to how you opened the show as well, that we have to know God's character if we're going to trust him when it doesn't suit us, when he's bringing us through a season that we don't like or calling something out of us that we're not enjoying at the moment, because his will for us is our best case scenario. I mean, when you're in Joseph's story, you gasp because you cannot believe one injustice after another. And yet you don't ever really see Joseph. I know he was a human being like everybody else, but it seemed that he had so much honor in him and that he somehow trusted God so much because he rose to the top in every situation. He became a leader and became an influencer. And I think that story is a great one for all of us to remember, that God is preparing us for a next place of promise. And that training time is not an easy time. You know, he went from the prison to the palace, but he had to go through what he went through so that he could lead with compassion and conviction and clarity. And you think about that, leading Egypt through a feast and then a famine. And I often say that what you're walking through right now has, again, historical implications. And if we misinterpret our hard times, if we misjudge God's character in it, we will miss an incredible opportunity to be prepared. Because in the Psalms, what it says about Joseph is that God knew there was a famine ahead, so he sent Joseph on ahead in shackles. Now, it looked like Joseph had been left behind, but he'd been sent ahead to fulfill God's purposes.
You know, it's interesting when we read through the Bible time after time after time. You could read the same passages 100 times and God will activate something else that you didn't notice before. We're talking with Susie Larson today at SWS Radio. She's written about 15 books and she has a new one. It's called Prevail that just came out. It actually is a 365-day devotional. It's really about enduring strength and finding that in God's Word. But it sort of goes through the arc of the entire Bible. Susie, it's interesting because there's stories that you hear as a child, and sometimes you don't understand them. Have you ever had one of those where you're an adult and it took you decades to finally realize, oh, that's what that story is about? I just thought it was about a lion. I just thought it was a coat of many colors. I just thought it was about a boat and people being disobedient.
Absolutely, absolutely. And don't you think even when you think you've got a hold of it, I mean, God has the capacity to bring it to life in a fresh new way. That's what I love about Scripture. It's not just any book. It's the living, breathing Word of God. And there are always fresh revelations for us to glean. And what I love is that God knows exactly, Scott, what season you're in, exactly what word that you need that's living and breathing that will come in and impact your perspective and ignite your faith, you know, change how you show up in that particular scenario. That's God's living and breathing Word. And I just think, you know, again, we get so caught up in so many other things, but there's nothing like His presence. There's nothing like His Word. And that's when we'll get quickened and equipped to stand in this day. And in fact, the word prevail, the title, we picked that title, I want to say, a year before the book release. We could never have known what we would be walking through as a nation. And the word prevail in itself means to prove more powerful than your opponent and to be the last one standing. And, you know, when you don't develop that kind of grit in times of ease, in times of comfort. And, you know, the good news is we're not in a time of ease and we're not in a time of comfort. So this is a perfect opportunity to develop some grit in our growl to start to go, you know what, I'm going to stand on God's word and truth, even when it doesn't feel true. I'm going to learn how to contend for the promises, even when I don't feel like it. So yes, we are in tough, tough times. But again, God made no mistake by allowing us to be living and breathing for such a time. And He does say overwhelming victory belongs to you because you belong to me. So if we just maybe got to quit looking back, going, I want things to go the way they were, and go, Lord, your grace is here, and help me to find you here and start contending for the promises here.
You know, when we talk about the whole idea of prevailing, you think a lot about unity and you think about disunity and maybe where a lot of people are right now, even in Christian circles. This has been an interesting time for churches. This has been an interesting time for belief system, you know, in regard to where people are seeing truth and academics. And what do you think our church needs to embrace when it comes to unity? What's God been speaking to you with in regard to where unity can come from?
I've been on my face about this, Scott. I've been interceding and praying, begging God. I really believe it starts with personal repentance and humility. You know, shaking our fist at the darkness is not going to do anything. And there's a devo in the book titled On the Lord's Side. And I found it so interesting that, you know, God had just told Joshua, I am with you. Be strong and be courageous. Do not fear. You know, I'm with you and I'll be with you wherever you go. And then a little bit later, not too much longer, Joshua is on the road and he runs into a man with a sword and he says, hey, are you a friend or are you a foe? And the angel of the Lord's army says, neither. Now, I thought that's so interesting. So why wouldn't he say, well, I'm on your side, just like God just told you? But the reason he said that, he knew Joshua's heart was all in, but the people, their hearts were not all in. They had idols in their tent. And so he said, no, neither. I'm not on either side. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm the God of angel. I'm a commander of the Lord of angel armies. I think this is so important because when we think a lot and we sing a lot about the idea that God is for us, and He is. If God is for us, who can stand against us? I think at times we may presume upon God to just assume that if, you know, since God is for me, He's on my side, which means if you're not on my side, then God's not for you. And I think there an important reset is to say, Lord, there are things I don't know. There are things that I don't see. I have blind spots like everybody else. So would you search me, know my heart, test me, know me, and show me if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in your everlasting way. You know, I mean, you think about the racial divide, the scar that has run through our nation. You think about the denominationalism. And then there are just biblical departures under the guise of quote unquote Christianity, they're not Christian at all. So how do we navigate this? I say we start with personal humility and repentance and say, God, have mercy on me. Open my eyes where I'm blind. Unstop my ears where I'm deaf. Awaken my heart and help me to be an ambassador of reconciliation. It has to start there. And I think that's where personal revival starts. And that's how corporate revival takes off.
Yeah, man, we've got to have that before we can really embrace unity, huh? We're talking with Susie Larson today at Eschylus Radio, and she has a new book. It's called Prevail. It's 365 Days of Enduring Strength from God's Word. Thanks for sharing with us today, Susie.
Well, you are a new friend, Scott. Good to meet you. Thanks for having me.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.